2021 has come and gone, and despite the persistence of a global pandemic, the past year was a remarkable time for both film and television. But with our next trip around the sun already underway, now we're looking ahead at what is shaping up to be another year of big projects. So join us on a freshly slated episode of Script or Screen as we talk about our most anticipated movies and shows of 2022.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another rousing, exciting episode of Script or Screen, your number one source for all things movies and television. I am one of your co-hosts on this show, Zach Strachman. Joined with me, as always, is my co-host, Chris Kitchen.
It's Robert Fettuccini for this episode.
Oh, it's Robert Fettuccini.
Christopher Kitchen's on vacation.
Well, Robert, how you doing today?
My body is embalmed in the waters of Camino. I am just really, I'm moist today.
Robert, to anyone wondering, Robert Fettuccini is what we've taken to calling Boba Fett. We're back. We're back for another fun adventure, another year of movies and TV.
A look forward, if you will. You know, we are finally done and stopped dwelling on the past. And we're dwelling on the future now.
I think so.
Because there's a lot to dwell on. The thing about that cold open was the fact that we wrote about another year in the pandemic.
Listen, hey, we have no excuse. Excuse me.
Zach, Transformers have infiltrated COVID. Omicron. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck this thing's name is, but it's just... Now I know people that are getting this.
Oh my god!
And it's sucking. And that's
my cousin in Tennessee got it, and it's not good news, man.
You have a friend that got it. This a-hole of a guy. Good thing he only watches television and movies in his house.
He had absolutely
of HBO Max.
Yeah, he was like, "Oh darn! You mean I have to stay home and watch TV and not go outside? Bummer."
You know who you are.
But we are here. And if you are listening, you can find us on a bunch of different social medias and stuff. Chris, tell them where they can find us.
First of all, I just want to announce that there's a new look this year, Zach. New year, new us, if you will.
Exactly.
A la the millennials. So, at Scripture Screen. Ladies and gentlemen, be sure to visit our website, www.scriptorscreen.com. Or anchor.fm/scriptorscreen. There you can find all of our past, present, and future content. We are working on the backlog of YouTube uploads. Everyone, calm down. We are working on it. I've finally got a fun system. It's going to streamline putting all the stuff on there. But I just want to remind everybody, there's not a video element yet to the podcast, but I'm doing something much better if that's your avenue of listenership or listeningship, so to speak. Anyways, doesn't matter. Be sure to follow us on all of our social medias at Script or Screen, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and there you can interact with us in any types of ways. Tell us how you feel about the new thumbnail looks. We love it for now until I get bored of it and want to change it up again.
That's usually how it goes. We are fickle creatures, but
we're only human.
Hey, variety is the spice of life. So
speaking of variety, Zach, we've got some housekeeping. This is going to be a very lax episode. You don't need to come in prepared having watched anything. Just come in with your thoughts, your opinions, and you know what divisive things that you have planned. As do I. Zach, we have lost some great people in the last couple weeks.
Dude, too many people.
And I'm quite sad about it. The most recent one was a super bummer. We found out that Bob Saget had passed away
Saget, like, just completely out of the blue.
Yeah, that was really... I saw the Orange County Sheriff's Department in Central Florida. They said that there, at the time of death, there was no foul play or drugs at the scene or something like that. So that knocks two of those, you know, things off the list. But I wish his family and friends well. Everybody is like saying that he was just like the nicest and genuinely funniest and most authentic person that they knew, and it's really nice to hear.
You know, and his humor was absolutely amazing. Listen, he loved to go for shock humor, and he would say some pretty he had some pretty intense jokes.
Imagine this is the guy I knew from only Full House growing up, and then it wasn't until later on I'm like, oh wow, he's done a lot of other interesting things.
Yeah, to say the least. But another major loss to the film making endeavor was Sidney Poitier.
Yeah,
a legend in front and behind the screen. Obviously, the first African-American man to ever win an Academy Award, shattering boundaries, and I think he was 94, so that was
a very full life.
Yeah. Obviously, wow. Everyone knows Betty White. You know, Betty White passed away just before her 100th birthday, but close enough to it that magazines were already saying happy birthday, you know, which cosmically is about the funniest thing Betty White could have done. So
I don't know if you saw, but SNL re-aired her episode that she had done. I think it was the 35th season or something. I rewatched some of the skits. It was incredibly funny. I can't believe it took them that long to have her host the show, but we lost some greats this year. Or I guess between last year and this year, like the cusp
of the year.
But, you know, hopefully, you know, this year everybody just makes full use of their lives. And, you know, we're going to hold off on losing any more of the greats.
Yeah. Can everyone just chill and make healthy life decisions?
Please. COVID is out there. Not that any of these deaths are COVID related, but, you know, just we got to remember, in the face of a global pandemic and a major health crisis, our health is wealth.
Yep,
I learned that as well somewhere.
Time is money, and I need some cash. Got any cash?
I suppose some other businesses have cash. Zach, this year, another interesting news to report. It was the first year that NBC decided not to air the Golden Globes.
Dude,
and I think this is coming off of last year's kind of controversy. As pointed out by the LA Times. So they did a private ceremony with the awards, non-televised. We actually found that out the week we recorded the last episode.
Yeah.
It wasn't worth mentioning, so to speak, but there were like a lot of good films. Don't Look Up, though nominated, did not win for its screenplay. But there were some other, I guess, notable ones. A lot of my favorite Succession actors, Jeremy Strong, Sarah Snook, they went home. They also got nominated for SAG Awards today. Brian Cox, Kieran Culkin, Jeremy Strong, and Sarah Snook all nominated for SAG Awards.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought so.
I want to give a big shout out to, hold on, I'm scrolling through all the categories real fast, of Oh Young Soo, who won Best Supporting Actor in a series, miniseries, or motion picture for TV for Squid Game. That is cool.
Dude, I you know, it's funny that the protagonist, he was nominated for one as well, but I believe he lost to, wasn't Andrew Garfield. No, that Andrew Garfield won in a separate category.
Who did he lose to? Let's see.
I'm trying to see who won for Best Actor in a leading actor in a drama series, but there's so many. I do want to throw some shade, Zach.
Oh?
On Kate Winslet.
Oy.
For Mare of Easttown. I watched Mare of Easttown. Show was too hyped. It was not that good.
We here at Script to Screen have nothing but respect for Kate Winslet, but go ahead.
It's only because, Zach, I had just finished another HBO show that's a little older that I felt like was snubbed.
You were catching up.
I was catching up. The Outsider, Stephen King's Outsider. And I have to say, Cynthia Erivo, she was nominated in the same category, not for that show. So something totally different. But I felt like she got snubbed. the year prior in the award season for the show, and I feel like she should have been nominated. And the fact that Kate Winslet won for an HBO show that sucked versus she didn't get nominated for an HBO show that did not suck, I'm a tad upset.
But really good. I think I gave you some comfort in that, Cynthia Erivo. She's closer to EGOTing than Kate Winslet. So
Cynthia Erivo is gonna get got this year. She's gonna go get. You know what I'm saying?
Let's get on with it.
I do want to put a note on Andrew Garfield. Can I talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's out. He was in Spider-Man.
Oh, he went public with it.
Yeah, okay, he went public with it. Great. And he won, and with all this buzz, and now there's all this love, you know. Spider-Man's now at the box office globally at like $1.5 billion, which is great, and we love that. And, you know, Andrew Garfield's awesome. I do want to add, there's a lot of people going around on the internet talking about, this is how you service the fans. And I just want to emphasize the point I made on that episode that they did not service the fans in the way that you think they did. They wanted you to think this way. You did not want this before the Spider-Verse, before that. You want this. They did this to you. You got.
I want to piggyback kind of off that real fast, because I do want to get into the
what we're talking,
what we're actually talking about. But
this is just other things.
It's the discourse I've seen like all around now surrounding Andrew Garfield and just the topic of Spider-Man is that he's finally getting his chance to shine now, and maybe he'll get another stab at the character because those movies were actually brilliant. And I listen. If you like the Amazing Spider-Man movies, good for you. I'm happy for you. I hope you like. They're trash.
The garbage. I'll tell you what. I rewatched certain scenes from them recently, and I'm like, oh, this actually wasn't that bad. I hadn't seen them in so long, and I think I can go back looking at them with fresher eyes.
I understand if you like Andrew Garfield, and if like especially if like that's the Spider-Man like you got when you were a kid, but it's like they only rebooted it because Sam Raimi wouldn't do what Sony wanted, and so like from the get go, it's always been a very like corporate.
It was five years between what, Spider-Man 3 and Amazing Spider-Man 1.
No, it was like hold on.
It was like 4 years. I want to say at least. Since let's talk about like pre-production, Zach, filming. Pre-production
It was Spider-Man 2012. 3. 5 years. It was 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah, and listen, I have nothing. I think Andrew Garfield is a magnificent actor, but those movies are just bad, and I will debate anyone who says that they're good. That being said. We're not talking about Andrew Garfield. We're not talking about Spider-Man. At least we'll try not to. But let's talk. What do you want to talk about first? Television or films?
I feel like television is probably easier to get into because I don't think we've put a lot into that versus we have some good shout-outs for television. Because, you know, a new show could come out and we have no idea and we're like, yeah, great. But we can't talk about it because we know nothing. Versus these are some things that we're anticipating. And I feel like they're worth mentioning.
Yeah. Okay.
So I want to say a lot of these we don't necessarily have release dates for them.
Some of them we do. Some of them we have release windows, and some of them like the networks are like,
throw it up in the air. So we could get them at the very end of the year. Yeah. Okay.
The one that's coming up the soonest, and it's like we actually have like a date, which is February 25th, 2022, is Vikings Valhalla, which is it's going to be on Netflix, and it is the sequel series to Vikings, which originally aired on History Channel. And I don't know about you, I watched all of Vikings. I thought it was a great show. Travis Fimmel was really good in it.
As far as historical dramas go, well, I guess sort of. Is it Is any of this real? Is it all fictitious? What
does it all mean? So it's based on reality, and like you can say, like, here's that character, like Travis Fimmel, he played a semi-legendary, semi-real person, Ragnar Lothbrok. Okay. But then, like, there's other characters where you're like, yeah, that character did not exist at that time. Like, he, there's a, I forget the actor's name who played his brother, who was, oh my God, Rollo. And if you look in the history books, Rollo lived hundreds of years after Ragnar. But they do enough. A great show. It had, I've told you this before, Linus Roach played King Ecgbert. Who was a real historical king. It's very interesting, and like there are points when it has like these massive giant scale battles and stuff. But it's also a very, it's a show that can also dial it back and kind of meditate on faith and religion and that sort of thing. So I thought it was really,
would you say this is for like the audience of like Game of Thrones viewers or something like in that realm? So, I mean, this is more grounded, I feel, because of reality, so to speak. But
yeah, I mean, it definitely, I think, will scratch that itch for some people. There's been other Viking shows. There's, what is it, the Last Kingdom was another one. But I just, I find Viking, Norse, all that stuff, history, very interesting, and a lot of cool battles. It's a violent show, you know, everyone likes that kind of stuff. So, I'm hoping that Vikings Valhalla is just more of the same.
That's a great recommendation, Zach. Well, on theme, so to speak, I'm gonna kind of border some fantasy right here.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones, a Game of Thrones story, House of Dragon, House of the Dragon, dude. Are they calling it Game of Thrones House of the Dragon or just House of the Dragon?
I don't know.
We're getting that this year, you know. We're only 3 years after the colossal bonking of the final season.
The bonking?
Bing bong, Zach. Bing bong. I'm obsessed with Side Talk New York now, as discovery recently. But we're not talking that. House of the Dragon, Zach. This show has a lot on. I don't know.
There's a lot riding on it. It could be.
Oh, it's called House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones prequel. That's a terrible name.
Oh, hey!
Off to a bad start.
Happy Monday morning. Did you watch that new episode of House of the Dragons, the Game of Thrones prequel?
You know what's funny? It's like that's what it is on the website of HBO's website, but on like the Wikipedia, it's just called House of the Dragon.
And I'm just going to call it House of the Dragon.
Yeah, you know that sounds pretty good. But I gotta say, I am super excited for this, especially after finishing The Outsider and seeing Patty Constantine mm-hmm. as like one of the leads. I'm into it, and we see this guy in the Cornetto's trilogy, and then we see him here or in that show I just watched, and now we're gonna see him taking like a more of a leading role. Like, oh, this guy is making quite the career at, I don't know, he's like in his mid-40s. Good for him. Excited. Yeah.
But it's going to have, I mean, great cast going into it. Olivia Cooke, Matt Smith, Risa Fonz. Oh, I mean, like,
oh, it's heavy hitters.
And listen, we're talking about like the heyday of the Targaryens. We're going to see some dragons, and we're not going to have to wait 8 seasons to get there.
Yeah, that's true. Now, the thing is that George R. R. Martin is like writing and creating this show and producing it.
Is he right? Does he have a writing credit with it? I know it's based off his book, but I mean,
I think as they've said that he's, in terms of the developing and the writing of the show, that he is has a role.
I would prefer if he didn't, and he just focused on the books that he has literally taken a decade to write.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, but this could be a very cool series because the story is there. It's written like we know what happened with all the Targaryens, but there's enough room where the books, the one book that was written about it, Fire and Blood, doesn't shine a light on other characters, where you can maybe go a little, you can tell more original stories. I just hope I hope they don't try to, I don't know. I just want to see how they do with it. According
to... Stick to the core drama that they've kind of made people fall in love with, in a way. But also, like, you know, with respect to significant events and characters and stories. I just don't want to hear people complain. I liked kind of, you know, I still like the ending of the last season, but that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, and I will say that George Martin, he recently put out a post where he talked about seeing the first episode of the show. He said, I'm anticipating House of the Dragons pretty eagerly myself, for what it's worth. Okay, I'm hardly objective. And I know a lot of what you will be seeing. I wrote the book. And mum's the word now, don't tell anyone. I've seen a rough cut of the first episode and loved it. It's dark, it's powerful, it's visceral, just the way I like my epic fantasy. So
go suck a George R. R. Martin.
Wow. You heard it here first, folks.
I guess the last one listed on our fantasy tale is Lord of the Rings Amazon series. We did touch on this briefly because we still don't have as much information.
We don't even have we've gotten like concept art.
And so far. Like it's coming out this year. Are we sure?
That's what I've been told.
You heard it here, Zach, our primary source for information. Or I guess secondary, you know, if you've been told.
They can take as long as they want, as long as they don't screw it up.
Zach, just speak on background about this. Actually, I can quote you, but because you've already said I've been told, so I'm a journalist 100% now.
Okay, I think it's gonna. I hope it's good. I think, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I'm iffy as to if Amazon can actually pull it off, but I, you know, they've made good shows before, and they're putting a metric ass ton of money into this series, so you know,
wish them the best.
Don't hurt
our beloved rings.
Speaking,
you want to hear about a series I'm iffy on?
I know
you were about to jump into. Iffy on that one.
I was gonna do a segue off rings, but go ahead.
I'm a bit iffy on Stranger Things season 4.
You are
from Netflix. I am iffy personally. Okay. But I realize my opinion is not the vocal majority and the internet's love and all the awards and stuff. The thing is, I watched that third season and I'm like, I hate the direction that they went in with this.
Really?
What is this like Russian spy crap garbage, the Red Scare? I hated that.
I thought it was interesting seeing the characters kind of tackle a bigger threat. And, well, because the Russians got drawn in because of everything that happened in the previous seasons and stuff.
Oh, yeah. The Russians. Great. What the fuck?
Because, you know...
Sorry, listen. Billy. I'm, like, really unedited this time. But, like, oh, my God. Like, I don't know.
Listen, I've enjoyed all the seasons so far. I think a really... a standout from the last season was Maya Hawke.
I agree. I think the performances and all the actors did a great job. I just felt like the story, not that it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was fine. Everything made sense. They didn't do anything wrong. But it's just, I feel like as per my personal taste, mm-hmm. it's branching off into, they're becoming like a variant of such to the Stranger Things that I knew, or
right.
that I felt
well,
that I knew.
At least from the
obviously I didn't.
At least from the trailer, it looks like they're kind of, I don't want to use the term course correcting, but kind of going back to more of like you know, shadowy U.S. government and more monsters and more freaky. Psychic stuff. Maybe Matthew Modine will come back. Who knows?
Yeah, there's kind of like a is this in the past kind of type deal going on. But I mean,
I'm down. I mean, we're gonna get more Russian stuff because obviously, David Harbour as Hopper,
he's
was like
in Siberia right now.
Yeah, so we'll see where all this goes.
Yeah,
I'm anticipating it. I'm sure I'll enjoy it, even if people tell me not to. Let's talk, kind of cycling back over to HBO.
Yeah, my favorite of television people.
Referring back to when you talked about fancy rings, let's talk about a little ditty by the name of Winning Time.
Dude, we hinted at this in our last episode. This series is shaping up to be looking quite delightful. I am, one, John C. Reilly, on his own, doing his thing. I love him.
Dude.
I'm into it.
Well, talking about last episode, but...
I mean, also, Adam McKay. Right. I do want to, you know, point out there, the show is being helmed by a Max Borenstein and a Jim Hecht. So Adam McKay, his company, his insights, his people.
Is this a Hyper Object Industries?
This is, but you know, the showrunners who evidently be Max Borenstein is credited as the writer. I am very much looking forward to the show that Adam McKay has stamped his approval seal on, because he knows good things, and such is the case with Jesse Armstrong's Succession. So,
and you know. Seeing, you know, listen, as a Miami Heat fan, seeing Adrian Brody as Pat Riley.
Dude, this is going to be insane.
It's going to be pretty great. And I hope he's in a lot of it because, you know, Pat Riley, he was the coach.
I don't know. I'll tell you what. Adrian Brody was in Succession for all of an episode in last
season.
Was he? Yeah. Well, and then they said Adrian Brody's in the season. And then same with the Skarsgård brother. He was all in, you know, for like.
Which Skarsgård? Alexander, Bill?
Alexander.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I just hope we get, I mean, not that the series is about Adrian Brody's Pat Riley. It's about here.
I think he's going to probably be a very like a supporting, maybe tertiary character.
It's about the book Showtime, Magic, Kareem, Riley and the Los Angeles Dynasty Lakers the Los Angeles Lakers Dynasty of the 1980s, written by Jeff Perlman.
It looks borderline Wolf of Wall Street, like, in terms of, like, presentation of, like, listen, we're on top of the world, we're gonna get debauched. Listen, I mean...
That's the trailer, too. Like,
you know...
I agree.
You know what happened to Magic Johnson, I mean...
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's a subject that will be kept from the series, and it's HBO, so...
Sally Field is in the show, too.
Dude, too many good people.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm very excited. We
do have another HBO selection on here before we tap off them.
Yeah, this one I'm very cautious for, but...
Everybody is. This is what I thought you were going to talk about, like what you were going to segue into, like
no.
cautiously walking into. But it's The Last of Us adaptation coming to us from HBO and PlayStation Television.
This is going to be interesting because they're following the story of the original game with Pedro Pascal playing Joel and Bella Ramsey, who was Lyanna Mormont in Game of Thrones, playing Ellie. And they have released a total of one shot. With both actors from behind, just staring at, like, a crashed plane.
Yeah.
And it looks, just from that one picture, you're like, yeah, that does look like Joel and Ellie from The Last of Us, but...
No, we haven't received anything else.
Listen,
there's things to be noted about it. You know, Neil Druckmann is very involved in the show. You know, Naughty Dog is very involved. PlayStation themselves, very involved.
So... Yeah, I mean, so for me, when let's say like when a cartoon or something, a piece of animation is being adapted for live action, I say, what can live action do better that animation can't? And the answer is nothing. And so when I look at this show, I go, Troy Baker and what's her name, Ashley Johnson, Am I totally screwing up that name?
Zach's Googling. I do want to add while you're Googling, the show, while being co-developed by Neil Druckmann as like the source material head, it's also being headed by Craig Mazin, who's of film and television background. Most recently, the most notable work, Zach, that I'm sure you'll appreciate, he did 2019's Chernobyl limited series.
Okay.
Currently, he worked on or wrote an episode of Mythic Quest, the Rob McElhenney show, and then The Last of Us is his current project. The thing is, if you look at his film career, I am super on the fence about him. I'm talking things like Scary Movies 3 and 4.
Oy.
I'm Hangovers Part 2 and 3.
Oy.
Huntsman, Winter's War.
Oy.
A soon-to-be-released Pirates of the Caribbean 6.
Oh, I don't like that.
And I'm like, oh, God, stick to TV, my dude. Stick to TV, please.
I'll just say, you know, it was Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson. They do such a remarkable job in The Last of Us, like the games, that I'm like, and not to say that I don't believe that Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey are bad actors. They're terrific actors. And I know for a fact that Pedro Pascal can be a very, very, he can do a very good, rugged, lone dad type.
Yeah.
I feel like he's typecasted. Yeah, very much so. But, like, it's just, like, the story was told so well once. What can they do to improve on it? I don't know if they can do anything.
Who's to say? That'll be the theme of today's episode. Don't know what to expect, but let's... I'm going in with open eyes. The thing is, Zach, I actually haven't played Last of Us. I played the first one for all of, I don't know, a couple missions until that one lady died. You know, and then, you know, I think I told you this in the past, and I own both games.
Yeah.
You know, I don't own the second one. It has the second one on PlayStation Plus collection or whatever.
Right.
That's what I'm waiting for. Because I won't buy that hot garbage.
No, it was a great game. They're both fantastic games. And, I don't know, I just,
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And it's funny because apparently Sony's already in talks of remaking the first game, which
been out less than 10 years.
Yeah, I know. The
first one came in 2012 or 2013?
2013. I'm sorry.
It's almost there, but I mean, it's not enough time.
If you ever hear these like things from behind the scenes at Sony, it sounds like no one in that company knows what the hell they're doing. Anyway, we just saw an article today that said they're having trouble meeting the demand for PS5s, so they're just gonna start putting out more PS4s.
This Sony is a revelation. This isn't a video game podcast, but this is a revelation. You just got an Xbox, and you discovered that there's a Discord app on Xbox, but Sony, who recently purchased Discord, does not have a Discord app on their PlayStations. They do not know what they're doing.
It's not ideal.
I am an avid listener of video game podcasts, and they talk about them doing great things, and now I've come to believe they don't know what they're doing.
Listen, nobody's perfect, but people can try their best. Speaking of trying their best, I don't know, that's a bad segue. I want to talk about Better Call Saul Season 6.
The last season, isn't it?
This is the final season. It had a longer shelf life than Breaking Bad. No, I'm kidding. But I'm excited. Well,
we see what the movie. But, I mean, the movie's just like, what,
less. Are you talking about Gran Torino? Or not Gran Torino.
El Camino. A Breaking Bad story.
It was fine. It was whatever.
I liked it. You know, Gran Torino, great film. El Camino, a good film. The cinematography of that film was incredible. I loved the way that they made that Netflix
I was going to say, are we still talking about Gran Torino?
Clint Eastwood is Clint Eastwood. You know, he will always be. I haven't seen his last two films, but I really wanted to.
I heard Cry Macho wasn't that good.
I'm not going there with a serious face. Better Call Saul. Let's talk Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul. Bob Odenkirk is the GOAT. I'd love to see where this series.
Dude, he just broke his body again on set. No, he had a heart attack. It was one of the two things. That was a while ago. No, but he was just injured again on the set of Better Call Saul. I think I just read this somewhere.
Hey, Hollywood and television companies,
stop.
stop hurting our actors.
God. Oh my God.
But I just, Better Call Saul is, it's such a good show. It has no reason to be as good as it is. You take a show, you go, okay, you know, Breaking Bad, that beloved series that was just start to finish almost televised perfection. Well, we're going to take its silliest character and we're going to do a spin-off prequel all about this one character and all the stuff you didn't know about him. And yeah, you make it sound, when you say it like that, you go like, well, that's doomed to fail and there's no way it could be good, but it's so good. And Bob Odenkirk, just listen, for a comedic actor, his dramatic chops are just perfect.
Yeah.
I am so excited to see what the final season brings.
I do want to make a correction. I am mistaking. I'm just remembering his rush to the hospital collapsing and that they continued filming in September 2021. That is what happened. You are right. I was...
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad they're not killing our actors, because... But, I mean, across the board, Jonathan Banks as Mike Ehrmantraut, Rhea Seehorn as Kim Wexler, Michael Mondo, and, of course, Giancarlo Esposito as Gus Fring.
I am glad that they're still pumping life into this, dare I say, franchise.
I guess so.
So to speak. It's two different shows in a movie. Yeah, exactly. And because it was really good. What I hate is that it's being... I feel like the best part about Breaking Bad is that it was out in a time where it didn't have a lot of competition at some points. And so right, it stood above all else versus I think there's a lot of good competition against Better Call Saul right now. So sometimes people might forget about it, that it's around. And it's the same thing with, like, you know, the Fargo series, because they don't come around as often and things like that.
Right.
But, I mean, I think Better Call Saul 2... or rather, like, this new Game of Thrones series, House of Dragon, is kind of... House of the Dragon is taking a page out of that book. You know, people wanted more of something in a way. Well, actually, I don't know if people wanted more of Jimmy McGill or Saul Goodman. And then when they got it, we're like, oh, okay. But I don't know. I feel like there's a connection there thematically in Hollywood, right? If you think...
Maybe
I'm with my corkboard and all my lines.
You're Pepe Sylvia.
Exactly. Maybe that's what's happening. I don't know.
I'm just really excited to see where it goes. You know, I want to see, you know, obviously where Saul Goodman's going to land. We know, but, like, we don't know what happens to Kim. We don't know what happens Michael Mondo's character.
Yeah, Nacho.
Okay. And we don't know what happens to, I'm blanking on his name. Lalo, played by...
I think Lalo dies.
Well, no, because, why am I blanking on the actor's name? Tony Dalton.
Tony Dalton.
He was just in Hawkeye, of course.
Yeah.
Because in Breaking Bad, in season 2, when they drag Saul Goodman out to the middle of the desert and they hold him at gunpoint with masks on, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, are you with Lalo? So we know that Lalo...
I thought they mentioned Nacho in that scene, not Lalo.
Not definitely Lalo. I'm like 97% sure.
Billy, verify right here.
It was both. Saul mentions Lalo and Nacho, so you were both right. But also both wrong.
Ha! I knew it, Zach.
And with that, we're moving on. Let's just real fast, rapid fire talk about... We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 television things coming out from Marvel in this year. And I think it's also safe to say, real fast, in like the next... I think next week or this week, Peacemaker is coming to HBO Max. Spinoff of Suicide Squad, and that's getting some good reviews for all the DC people out there. Apparently, the CW is up for sale now.
I don't know.
Who cares about the CW? but Disney Plus, we're getting, and if you I don't think we need to talk too in depth about these because we've discussed them before.
We just did a whole thing. I'm good for a while.
But and none of these have release dates except for one of them has a month that we know it's coming out. So there is Moon Knight with what's his name?
Oscar Isaacs.
He's gonna be our Moon Knight. Phil Spector.
Mark Spector.
Mark Spector.
And Khonshu, the Egyptian ghost.
There you go.
He's not a ghost. Please stop.
We got She-Hulk coming out. Tatiana Maslany, and also Mark Ruffalo's back, so that should be cool. I'm interested to see how much budget they can funnel into a show and maintain CGI Hulk and
maintain CGI fidelity. You know?
Yeah. Also, again, just rumors. I don't want to start the rumor train, but just rumors that Charlie Cox going to be appearing in that series as
Matt
Murdock.
I don't want him to just be a side character, Zachary. I don't want it.
Well, maybe he'll be a daredevil in that. We have Secret Invasion coming out. That we're going to get back Samuel Jackson and
Secret Invasion, guys, not Secret Wars, that actually sucks and is unadaptable.
Hey, I have a copy of Secret Wars.
Hate Secret Wars.
Issue 8, first appearance of Black Suit Spider-Man.
Stupid.
That's like a $200 comic I got sitting on my...
I texted you guys the other day because saw some rumors that Secret Wars is going to be adapted. I'm like, this would suck. This would not make any sense whatsoever.
And I said, Secret Invasion.
I just want it on the record. Don't want Secret Wars. I am not a fan.
But we'll get Ben Mendelsohn back, and everyone loves Ben Mendelsohn.
Dude, I discovered how he's able to do his American accent.
He
just talks with his tongue at the bottom of his teeth. And so that's why he kind of has a lisp when he speaks English, like American English.
Is that what?
Yeah.
But he had the lisp in Rogue One.
But even then, I watched The Outsider.
When he played Orson Krennic.
He was an outsider.
That's right. Jeez.
That's the thing.
I haven't seen Outsider in a year, so.
I guess it's a limited series because they didn't renew it or anything. But
it was a year ago that it came out, so.
Yeah. Anyways. I discovered how he does it. Besides the point, continue with your marvelings.
We have Ms. Marvel coming out. It's Kamala Khan. Cool. I think Mindy Kaling is contributing to that in one way or another, so that should be good. Obviously, if you like The Office, you like Mindy Kaling.
Or
The Mindy Project. And then lastly, coming out December of 2022, The Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, which James Gunn is directing, he's the head of, and
what I don't understand, is this a full movie that's before Game of Thrones
before
Guardians of the Galaxy 3? Because right now they're in current production of Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I think it's
just an extension of that.
Now here's the thing, James Gunn has said that this is going to be like a canon, like, important thing, so
I don't know what that means.
I refuse to
It's funny, I guess. It's funny.
But that's, I think that pretty much covers anything television-wise that we're anticipating.
Yeah.
People at home, lovely listeners, if you are anticipating any other shows, comment, let us know what you want to see. And I think we'll segue into our most anticipated films of the year.
My segue brakes aren't working. They're not working.
He's crashing, everyone. I don't think we'll go as too in-depth on some of these. Some of these are like, it exists, and I want to see it.
Can I start with one that it's not on our list right here that we have, but I just saw reviews for it. And I'm happy that it's being positively reviewed as a non-scary movie fan. This is the Scream reboot / like Scream 5 film.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I think I saw it's going.
IGN gave it like a really great review, and I was like, "Wow! Like, I can't believe a movie that's been like, you know, ripped to shreds by a toxic fan base, that it's like doing well, and they're having a great time with it."
currently sitting at a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What they wrote here is, the fifth entry into the Scream franchise sets up a future for the franchise that some may not have thought possible, with a tight story, great performances, and a stellar new directions.
Sweet. I'm like, oh,
that's pretty cool. 9 out of 10 they gave it.
You know, that's...
if you like IGN reviews.
If you like them, some people don't. I want to talk about a movie that's coming out February 4th, a series near and dear to my heart, something I grew up with, hit me at just the right time, I'm sure for you as well.
Yep.
I don't think it's possible for anyone not to like this series. We're talking Jackass, with Jackass Forever coming out. The boys are back. Jeff Tremaine directing, like always. Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O, Chris Pontius.
It's important to note, Zach, and many people forget the involvement of one Spike Jonze in the blossoming enterprise of Jackass. And remember, Spike Jonze won an Academy Award for writing Her, you know, 2012-2013.
Yeah.
And we've seen him in little small roles. He had a small role in Moneyball, a small role in Wolf of Wall Street in terms of his amazing acting career,
but yeah,
very involved in the
I am just
Jackass
so,
franchise.
Listen, these people, they are not, like, obviously they're not, I don't go to them for their intellect or their acting or anything. I go to watch these people get hurt and just laugh at the comedy. Because, listen,
yeah,
Johnny Knoxville and Steve-O and Wee Man and Chris Pontius and Dave England and all of them, Preston Lacey, they're all, like, they've all been cemented into, like, my mind as, like, some of the funniest people in the world.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know, listen, their stunts are legendary. And...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I always love to see the Wild Boys, where
Wild Boys was interesting to me. But the thing is, like, I had a very interesting relationship with the show Viva La Bam, but obviously there's a lot of controversy around a lot of things, and also, you know, there's a lot of pain there and stuff. And we're not going to go into all that. But I am happy to see that the group itself with this movie. The final entry of some of the older cast and perhaps a blossoming new franchise for some of the newer
oncovers.
And I'd like to see that, honestly, that they brought in some newer people that are, like, fresh in the mix to liven things up. These guys are getting old. I don't know if you've seen Johnny Knoxville's got white hair right now.
Yeah. It's, and listen, I always say, like, oh, they're getting too old for it. They're getting too old. But then they keep coming back for more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
It's their fault. It's your fault for doing that.
I'll keep watching until they die, I guess.
Yeah.
But if they keep making them, but
don't say that.
You know, listen. Some of them are no longer around, and some of them were asked politely to leave. But I'm just excited to have Jackass back. It's been too long.
It is. It has.
But the next one on the list is a pretty big one, I would say. I don't know about you. We're talking March 4th, directed by Matt Reeves. We're talking The Batman.
And that's the title. I've been holding off on saying this, and I can't say it because it's not something that I don't know if I can't quote this person per se. But I know someone, Zach, that got to watch the film.
Really?
And they posted publicly that they watched it. But they didn't. They just gave, like, an overall thought that it was, like, one of the best experiences that they had last year.
Well, there you go.
And I don't know if that's the film in final, but I think they got, like, a test screening.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, yeah. And I trust this person. And I trust them with Batman.
hey, listen. Matt Reeves did a great job on the Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah.
Was it Dawn of the Planet of the Apes or Rise of the Planet of the Apes? One of them. The second one.
I think it was the latter two that he was involved in.
Yeah, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War of the Planet of the Apes, yeah. And Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is great.
Yeah.
So this is gonna be great. I mean, you know, what's his name? Paul Dano as the Riddler.
Dude.
What's his name? Colin Farrell as the Penguin, as Oswald Cobblepot.
I mean, everybody says that they love the direction that this film is going, but I saw in the, a little bit in the Empire interview from the magazine with Matt Reeves that he said that he was really inspired to write the script by the music he was listening to, that music being Nirvana, at, you know, on just on chance that that's what he was listening to, and that's why we got this, and that's also why we got the song in the trailer.
Yeah.
And so, really interesting take, and it's a breath of fresh air. So yeah, I'm in.
I am in. Recently, I think either yesterday, today, but it got its official rating. It's PG-13. A lot of people thought it was going to be rated R. I say, what are you smoking? They're never going to make a rated R Batman film. Because they
Wait, didn't they? Dawn of Justice? Batman vs. Superman? I guess it's half PG-13. Of Batman. No, the Snyder Cut was rated R.
I don't give a fuck about the Snyder Cut. It's not a real movie.
That one was called like the ultimate cut or whatever.
I don't care. It's stupid. They're all stupid.
Yeah. What's your favorite version of Blade Runner, Zach? The final cut?
The one with the unicorn. But listen, I'll tell you this. You know what's not on this movie of highly anticipated films? Is The Flash. Ezra Miller's The Flash. I don't care about that movie, except that maybe it might just undo a lot of the shitty movies that have come out before this. So,
and also bring back Michael Keaton.
There you go. This next film, I just want to mention it because it looked cool. It's from A24. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, coming out March 26th.
Didn't I send you the trailer for this? This looks incredible. This looks really weird. Like, on paper, this should not make sense.
Yeah, it's directed by Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, starring Michelle Yeoh, and it's cool. It's like this, like, parallel dimensions, action, martial arts film. I'm down for it. It looks cool. A24, you know, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. I am excited. The trailer was really weird with the googly eyes, or the media. I was like, what is this? And then I watched it. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I did want to add another A24 film that's like in the realm of being released soon that we just got a teaser for today. It's called X, directed and written by Ty West. And it's at the secluded farmhouse in Texas. A film crew arrives to shoot an adult film. Their hosts, a reclusively elderly couple, take special interest in their young guests. And as the night falls, the couple's leering interest turns violent. It's a horror film. And the trailer's spoopy. And it's filmed in like a 4:3 kind of like aspect ratio, but it just looks very interesting. And there's, it's kind of like, I don't want to say pornographic elements, but they're filming a porno, so it's in there. It's weird. It's very A24. Looks super interesting.
Sweet.
Moving on.
Yeah, that should be cool. Moving on, we have April 8th, Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Directed by Jeff Fowler, Ben Schwartz,
Introducing Jim Carrey, Idris Elba
as Knuckles the Echidna.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Knuckles the Echidna.
What is Knuckles?
An echidna.
I don't know what that is. I didn't know Knuckles was a thing. I thought he was just Knuckles.
No, he's Knuckles the Echidna.
No, shows what I know.
Yeah, man. Come on.
Oh, with an E. What the hell is an echidna? I've never even heard of this creature.
It's like a marsupial or something.
A marsupial? Ew.
Is it? Is it a marsupial?
Knuckles looks nothing like this thing.
Oh, no, it's a monotreme, I think.
No, it's an echidna.
No. A monotreme is an egg-laying mammal.
Either way, anyway, I saw the first film on a plane, and I'll see the second one on a plane, too.
I saw the first one and I didn't hate it. It was fun. And Jim Carrey got to, you know, be silly in it, and that's what we like to see. Moving on, April 22nd, we got two really good movies coming out. The first one is The Northmen, directed by Robert Eggers and starring Alexander Skarsgård. Dude, I am so hyped for this film. As I said before, talking about Vikings Valhalla, I love Vikings. I love Norse iconography, and this is like
your type of man is a very strong.
I like a strong Scandinavian man to make me feel safe.
That's why you got that nice beard, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, and just embodiment of Thor.
this story looks really cool. It's basically the story of Hamlet.
Oh, Bjork is in the film.
Yeah, she's playing like a seer.
Who the hell is Ethan Hawke in this movie?
Ethan Hawke. He's playing the king who gets killed and before Amleth goes on the run.
What if, Zach? What if? And I'm just gonna throw this out there. This film is like criticized for its casting of non-Scandinavian actors.
I don't care. Because listen, Travis Fimmel in Vikings, he's Australian and he played a very convincing Scandinavian. But dude, Robert Eggers, obviously we're talking The Witch, we're talking The Lighthouse. This dude is an amazing director, and this movie just looks like it is just a visual treat. And
I haven't seen like a teaser or anything for it.
You haven't seen the trailer?
I haven't.
Oh my god, just watch the trailer. It looks so good.
I wanted to ask, like, does it have like that feel like Lighthouse is black and white and 4x3 and The Witch was found footage, right? Kind of style?
No.
The Witch wasn't?
The Witch is
I'm thinking of that other film. I'm thinking of Blair Witch is what I'm thinking about.
But no, just The Northman, it looks so cool. It looks great. I can't wait. It's basically the story of Hamlet. The story that inspired Hamlet. So just
there's that.
I'm gonna see it.
I'll tell you what, this next film that comes out on the same day.
Yes.
I am super excited for because it's awesome. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Starring Nicolas Cage.
As himself. As Nick Cage. I don't know what else there is to say that like this is awesome. I love things that do this. Like, this is like being John Malkovich in a way.
Yeah. You know? It's got Pedro Pascal of Last of Us fame here as well. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a fun, silly, kind of like probably mind trippy movie.
I'm excited for it. Isn't it also kind of like a Most Dangerous Game kind of feel?
Something like that.
Something like in terms of the story, yeah.
It looks balls to the walls crazy, and that's, you know.
To whoever hadn't read The Most Dangerous Game in like middle school,
it's human.
English class, just Google that story for yourself.
Next, May 6th, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
I won that bet, Zach. I won it fair and square.
You did.
And did we announce that 2 episodes ago that we made
that
bet?
We talked about it.
Yeah, and I'm happy I did. And,
there you go.
I also love the title that it's in the Multiverse of Madness versus
It's going to be cool. I'm sure when it comes out, we will dedicate a whole episode to it.
We have seen like almost nothing except for the things we discussed in previous episode. Episode 45, a spectacular No Way Home.
Exactly.
Bingo.
So
listen to that one.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm excited for it. Not much to say except Marvel has not done wrong yet. They are probably going to do this.
Yep.
May 27th, we have Top Gun Maverick.
I don't care about this.
I don't care about it except that the stunts look incredible. They set it up so that way they could film the actors in actual F-16s and stuff.
Yeah. Is Val Kilmer in this one?
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Did you watch that documentary about him?
No. I saw, like, parts of it, but I'm like, I'm not ready to be sad today.
I need to watch the documentary because, honestly, like, I saw the trailer and, like, read the synopsis and realized, like, his son is doing the narration for him, and I'm like, oh.
Wikipedia says he's in it. Okay. So we'll see.
He's done roles in his kind of current state of living right now, so I just want to know if he's doing another one. And
yeah,
I think he was very much involved in.
Well, we'll
next,
see.
Yeah. Next on the list, this one I'm a little spicy about, Zach.
Yeah.
this filmmaker here, he could have made the best final addition into the Star Wars trilogy and decided to depart and work on more Jurassic Park bull crap.
So the
he
Jurassic
left us with J.J. Abrams, unfortunately.
Right, yeah, we're talking Colin Trevorrow for Jurassic World Dominion. The first two Jurassic Worlds are not great.
I thought people liked the first one.
It's there.
That's a revival.
But Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom was trash. But it did have a really interesting ending. And that's what this is the dinosaurs are loose, and, you know, only Chris Pratt can save the day. Except they're also bringing back Alan Grant. That's Sam Neill.
How are they going to do all this?
Malcolm. I don't know. I saw they released, like, the first 10 minutes of the film, and it's, like, this prologue that shows, like,
dinosaurs and stuff. That, and I was like, it's the same kind of first 10 minutes of any of the Jurassic Park films.
Sure.
No?
No, I mean, this is the first time we're seeing, like, in prehistoric times and stuff.
Oh, if you want to include that bit, then yeah.
And seeing the whole thing of, like, the T-Rex going to, like, the drive-in theater, it was cool.
We'll continue, and I'll tell you my thought in a second.
I was just going to say, it doesn't look like... I don't think this movie's going to be, like, groundbreaking, but I'm like, you know what? Hey, listen, I like dinosaurs. I'm going to see this movie.
Yeah, that's good. Speaking of, like, the prologue, because they did show, like, the asteroid hitting the Earth in that one, I'm pretty sure, right?
Maybe.
I got to the comet and asteroid section of my Cosmos reading, as we discussed on the last episode, and it was super interesting stuff, and I just wanted to give the public an update. I'm really enjoying this book.
Book club time.
Yeah.
The next movie on our list, June 17th, this one's going to be exciting.
Lightyear.
Lightyear.
Angus McLean, right?
Angus McLean.
And starring Chris Evans and not Tim Allen for obvious reasons. You know what's funny, though? Tim Allen posted a really nice photo of him surrounded by many wonderful comedians. Bob Saget was a part of them. But all of them have since passed. Like, damn. Robin Williams. I'm blinking.
Norm MacDonald.
No, actually, he wasn't in the photo. Anyways, but though this movie looks super weird and interesting for Disney, I'm, like, super on the fence about Disney's animation as of, like, the last four films I've watched from them.
I haven't seen Encanto, but I heard it was really good.
No, the stories are great. I watched Encanto. I watched Raya. I watched, like, all these things. Ever since last year when we got the one with Chris Pratt and Tom Holland, where they're,
Onward.
Onward, and then we got Soul. What was the moped one?
I liked Soul.
The
moped one?
Yeah, they were, like, fish people, and they wanted the Vespa. Either way,
Luca.
Disney is trying this new efficiency-driven animation style, and I feel like I'm like the only one noticing it, just because I think I have an eye for these things in a sense that like there's something different about the lighting or the way it's like ray tracing or not ray tracing when they're putting the textures on these characters, and something looks terribly off that isn't the same kind of quality that they were putting out. In the past.
I don't know, man. Lightyear looks pretty spectacular.
Zach, my corkboard is full behind my screen. You can't see it. I've got lines everywhere. I'm going to prove that this is the case. And they did this too, and they talked about it. Let's jump to properties. In Lucasfilm, when talking about like the Clone Wars Bad Batch series, in the last Star Wars Celebration, they talked about it. That like, oh, look, this is the way we're doing it now. And they said it's better, and it's like, I don't know that it's better, but I tell you what, they think it's more efficient. And I'm like, go to hell. Because now you're putting this efficiency system in all of your animation departments across the board, and I ain't having it because quality.
You gotta cut costs somewhere.
Either way, Lightyear, I'm looking forward, because it'll be interesting to see hyper-realistic for Pixar.
Are we gonna get Woody next?
Oh, God, I hope not. I feel like
gritty, realistic Western from Pixar.
I'm like, what if it was like True Grit almost?
You know? Like, I'd be down. I'd be down.
Who would play a young Tom Hanks?
Chris Pratt. Anyway.
I do want to give one last shout out. Chris Evans was in Don't Look Up, and we totally didn't say anything about it.
Yeah, he's there for like 2 seconds.
He's very well disguised, I think.
Film adaptation of the asteroid hitting the planet or something.
Okay, we didn't talk about this movie, but I want to talk about this movie. Moonfall, sure. Zach?
Ugh.
this, like, really...
The newest film from acclaimed Independence Day director, Roland Emmerich. Roland Emmerich, not Nolan Emmerich. Yeah.
It's coming February 4th, soon. And
all
stars,
I know...
It stars Sam from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's got Samwell Tarly.
And Patrick Wilson. But it's like, oh my god, this movie...
And Halle Berry.
I really want to see it.
No, it looks so bad. And they use, like, Creedence Clearwater Revival's Bad Moon Rising in the trailer. Yeah. I'm like, oh my god. Anyway, let's move on. July 8th, Taika Waititi and Chris Hemsworth are back for Thor, Love, and Thunder. And
this is what we want. This is what we need.
I am dying to see this movie. You know, we got Natalie Portman coming back as female Thor. We got Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie. We got the Guardians of the Galaxy are in this film. To some degree.
Yeah.
This movie's gonna be nuts. Christian Bale.
Oh, yeah.
Is playing the villain. Gore the God Killer, whatever his name is.
I wanna, like, jump in here and say I love the position that Marvel's put themselves in, where now we're seeing, like, they're more, I don't wanna say modern, but, like, we're not just solely looking back at, like, 50 years ago.
Yeah, the
60s. With the comics are writing. Like, this development of, like, Jane as Thor is, like, mm-hmm. something that came out in the comics in, like, the last 10 years, if anything.
Something like that.
And so them pulling that in, and they started doing that a while ago, but, like, I have a podcast. I can address it now, you know? And and so I just want to say that's cool that they're doing that.
Yeah,
but
it's going to be awesome.
But also, they own the property. They should be doing that.
Taika Waititi, excellent director. I actually accidentally wrote Taika Waititi, so sorry about that.
And he's returning as an Academy Award-winning writer.
There you
go. Last time he had won one, and now he won one for Jojo Rabbit.
And
one.
Yeah, so it's gonna be fun. When we'll definitely cover it when it comes out, and I'm very excited for it. I'm also excited for our next film on the list, July 22nd. Don't know anything about it, but it's called Nope.
How do you feel about these titles? Get Out, Us.
Nope.
Like, Jordan Peele, just exquisite writer.
But there you go. Jordan Peele is back in the director's chair with Daniel Kaluuya in the lead role. We don't know what it's about. I don't think there was, like, a synopsis yet. Is there a synopsis up on the thing? There isn't. We'll see.
I'll tell you what. I didn't watch Us. I watched Get Out. Loved Get Out. That was really cool. I watched both I don't know if it was the uncut one, but it was just the endings that were different.
I liked Get Out, and I liked Us, but Us kind of... Us was a little weird.
Okay.
It's funny, because, like, it was, like, kind of billed as a horror movie, but then after a while, it just became interesting instead of scary.
How dare a film become interesting?
So, I need to know more about Nope, but it's Jordan Peele. I'm sure it's going to be great. What more can be said? We were talking about this right before we started recording, but August 30th, Mission Impossible 7, directed by Chris McQuarrie, Tom Cruise, Simon Pegg, the gang's back, Rebecca Ferguson, Alec Baldwin, maybe, Ving Rhames, all the people, all the friends are back, and they're doing shenanigans. I don't know what it's about, but, I'm sure the stunts are going to be awesome. And, you know, Tom Cruise is always... He's always trying to top himself.
Like I said, I hadn't seen the last one. And I saw the other two, but I kind of forgot about them. But, I'm optimistic,
off,
I guess.
He dangled off the Burj Khalifa, and then he's like, I need to go bigger. And so he strapped himself to, like, the side of a plane that was taking off. And he's like, I need to go bigger. So I guess in this movie, he's just going to shoot himself or something.
Oh, God. can I mention another movie that I have no expectation for, but I was pleasantly surprised by the trailer and how interesting it looked.
Yeah.
Not on our list. It's coming out in April of all months, which is not appropriate for this film at all.
Okay.
This is a November film, Zach. It's Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Oh, no. Are you serious? This movie looks...
I'm talking about it because I had just watched the Harry Potter 20th anniversary of the first film, which is crazy because how dare HBO not do a 20th anniversary for Fellowship, but they do one for Harry Potter? But you know what? Shout out to Colbert for doing his 20th anniversary, because he did it justice in the right way.
They did a rap.
And it was awesome. They got almost everybody. But this movie, the thing is, after all the controversy and all the BS, and after the really crappy version of the last film that didn't make any sense, they had the audacity to put out a trailer that makes this film look like, oh, this looks much better than the BS that they tried on us before.
Listen, I'm not saying that this movie is guaranteed to be bad, but Warner Brothers has a pretty solid history of taking terrible films and piecing together a good trailer out of them and making you think you're going into a good film, and then it turns out to be not good. Here's
the thing. I'm looking forward to Mads Mikkelsen's replacing of Johnny Depp.
Are you? I think it's kind of upsetting that Johnny Depp loses roles because his we're on his side.
I'm on team Johnny, right? And I think Aquaman 2 should be canceled, right? And I agree. Like, I do.
Speaking of which, we might be talking about that film coming up.
Because that isn't the case, I've enjoyed Mads Mikkelsen's work in the past, and I will enjoy the future of it. And so I'm not going to let my grudge stop it, because I know he's a great actor. And it sucks that every fucking film that we get of this guy, or Johnny Depp, he's not actually in the movie. He was in one movie. And like,
I'll tell you this. The last Fantastic Beasts movie was hot garbage. The first one was not great. And I don't know why they decided that Fantastic Beasts was going to be the thing that carries that.
I think they said it was going to have five films overall. I'm like, why?
And you know what? They're written by J.K. Rowling, who is a known
transphobic, you know, like Kevin Spacey, known rapist.
Exactly. So. She's not a good person. And I just don't know if I want to give her money.
There's that. Honestly, you're bringing an excellent point. Maybe I won't see this movie, because you got to use your wallet.
Wait until you can watch it for free.
There's that too. But it's coming out in April. That sucks. And I think they've given her too much control. Like, they gave George Lucas too much control. But
I agree.
Who's to say?
I just think I think prequels as a whole are just a bad idea, because like, a lot of times a prequel is like telling a story that
I don't know.
We already know.
We were talking pretty nicely about Better Call Saul and our hopefulness for the Game of Thrones. The thing is, television is different than films.
Better Call Saul has already proven itself. House of Dragons could suck for all we know.
Stop. Don't say that. That's negative energy.
Anyway, moving on. October 7th, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1.
Can I tell you something? Into the Spider-Verse did not have the same effect on me as it did the rest of the world.
It's because you're racist.
No. I'm not. Strike that from the record. I'm not. The thing is, everybody saw it in theaters, and I didn't see it till like 2 years later when it was on Netflix.
Oh, well, that's your own fault.
Yeah, and I'm like, I watched it and I enjoyed it, but then I'm like, you know.
But come on, man.
I'm happy for the filmmakers. I'm happy for the producers. You know, that's Phil Lord, Chris Miller. Like, that's awesome. I love the Lego movie.
We got Shameik Moore back as Miles Morales. We got Hailee Steinfeld as Gwen Stacy, Spider-Gwen. We got Oscar Isaacs as Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099.
I didn't see any of that in the trailer. And I love Spider-Man 2099.
He's in the trailer.
Is he? For like how long, though?
He appears and starts beating the shit out of Miles.
Oh, then maybe I didn't pay attention.
They're also bringing in 1970s Spider-Man from Japan. Are you kidding me? That sounds amazing.
I don't know. I got No Way Homed, Zach.
Fine. We're moving on. I'm excited for that film, but we're moving on. November 11th, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Directed by Ryan Coogler, starring who? I don't know what's happening with this film. I hope they do something good with it. Because, there's been so many conflicting things. Some people say Lupita Nyong'o is going to be the lead role in this. Some people say that they were going to hand it to Letitia Wright, until Letitia Wright turned out to be an anti-vaxxer. So
you guys can't see this, but my eyes widened.
Yeah, and then there's been talks that Winston Duke will take on, you know, as M'Baku take on the lead role. Then there's been talks that this movie is going to be more focused on the people of Wakanda than any one.
What if they do like character? Vignettes? What if this is the first Marvel vignette film?
Dude, I'd be down. Why the hell not? That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would be down for an anthology movie in Wakanda. That'd be awesome. Chris, yeah. Chris, let's get Brian Coogler and Kevin Feige on the phone. Is it too late to just can everything they've been working on and be like,
Billy, I need a telephone filter right now. Zach, I just got off the phone with Kevin Feige.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Black Panther.
Oh, no.
And I'm being sued. Jesus. So, well, I don't know what that says. Maybe maybe I stole their idea.
We've made history, folks. Anyway, yeah, I don't know what's going on. Listen, Marvel, I'm sure they have an idea what's going on. We can only hope they do it good and we live to see the next movie.
Yeah.
November 23rd, we got two movies coming out. We got The Fabelmans, directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Michelle Williams. This is interesting. It's kind of supposed to be based on Steven Spielberg's childhood growing up and, like, how he would make, like, homemade movies.
Oh, like every other, like, 50s director and 60s director when they were born. And that's the story that we got.
And how his relationship with his dad probably wasn't great. And, hey, go.
That documentary was incredible. We talked about it in our second episode.
Exactly. A Steven Spielberg deep dive.
Maybe we should return to it and talk about it as more seasoned podcasters.
Absolutely. There's a lot of stuff in our early stuff I think we should revisit, but one day. The other film that's coming out November 23rd I'm excited for is Creed 3, directed by and starring Michael B. Jordan. And let me tell you, Creed 1... I have done the mental gymnastics to say was my favorite film of the first decade of the 2000s.
I like how you said the mental gymnastics. That's a really good way of putting it.
I believe was no, not the 2000 to 2010, but the 2010s.
That was your favorite film of the 2010s?
Yeah, oh my god. Creed film, especially because, like, I grew up on the Rocky films.
We covered one. I've still yet to watch the other ones.
Well, we're going to cover them now, all.
The road to Rocky 3 will be anything but Rocky, Zach. It'll be very smooth.
Creed 3?
Anyway, god damn it.
But Creed, the first Creed, I thought was such an amazing film, also directed by Ryan Coogler. So there you go. And I mean, it just a fantastic film. And then Creed 2 was not as good, but it was fine. It was an interesting take because they took the bad guy from Rocky 4, Ivan Drago, played by Dolph Lundgren, and they said his son is now coming up. And, you know, Ivan Drago was the one who did spoilers to certain characters in the Rocky movies. So just it was cool. So I am really interested to see what they do with Creed 3. Michael B. Jordan is directing.
He just went on Colbert to talk about how happy he is with directing the film.
Well, there you go.
So and that sounds awesome. I'm glad that he's having a good time. And that he's super psyched.
Is this his directorial debut or
I think. I don't wanna, I don't wanna speak for the man, but if I'm looking here at his Wikipedia's.
His directorial debut.
I like how Creed 3 doesn't have a Wikipedia page yet.
Well, and I'm sure they have it somewhere.
I you know what's funny? I want to go back to something you just said, that Creed 1 was like your favorite film of the 2010s era. I actually have a list that I made in 2020, like when that decade ended, of my top 10s. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but my top 3, no, top 2 for for that decade. First one was The Big Short, which we just kind of discussed, which is why I was so excited about that episode. Second one, number two, is Interstellar.
Ooh, what?
Film we also discussed. Wow. I know how you feel about it. But I think as overall films, when looking at them, those two films impacted me the most in that decade.
Interesting. But Creed 2, I mean Creed 1 was fantastic. Creed 2 was good. Creed 3, I'm excited for it. But then that takes us into December, December 16th, two movies.
We don't know. Here's the thing, Zach. We're this close, but we don't know.
We are, this is going to be my birthday weekend, and,
here's the thing. Out of both of these, I know the one you would choose to see on your birthday. The other one, I wouldn't even put a dollar toward.
Right.
Out of principle.
So we're talking first, Avatar 2.
Who knows if it's real.
Do you remember, like, the terrible names that, that James Cameron
were there subtitles?
Yeah,
they're terrible,
sequel titles, and yeah, I mean, he gave these. This is also
marketed as James Cameron's Avatar 2.
That's stupid. No. They were like full on. Okay, so there was going to be Avatar: The Way of Water, Avatar: The Seed Bearer, Avatar: The Tulkun Rider, and Avatar: The Quest for Awa.
I like those.
I'm like James Cameron. You think you're James Cameron? No one thinks the Avatar universe is cooler than James Cameron.
I mean. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
I don't even know if this movie's like apparently.
I do not know if it exists.
They apparently finished filming, and aside from that, we haven't seen trailers. We haven't seen teasers. We've seen a few pictures.
Teeny tiny
concept art.
They have a premise, and it is focused on the Pandora. Is the name right? And like they're the ocean, or that's the kind of environment they're exploring.
Does it have James Sully?
The thing is Sam Worthington hasn't been relevant in like 7 years.
I know. I was gonna say, who the fuck is Sam Worthington
anymore? You know, like, but they have a premise. So Jake Sully and Jake Sully have formed a family and are doing anything to stay together. What does that mean?
Is there
like a crippling divorce? You know, brewing. However, when an old threat returns to finish what they started, I wonder if the Jungle Man comes back alive.
The Jungle Man?
I don't remember his name. I want to call our Avatar 2 episode Avatar 2: Return of the Jungle Man.
We're doing it. I don't care about anything. This is okay, Chris. This is gonna be it from now until December 16th. This is our running joke: Return of the Jungleman.
It's a good one. I'm glad we can establish that now. Okay,
good. It's gonna be a good year, ladies and gentlemen.
But I don't know what's happening, and Answer me this. What's up, Batman?
In the first Avatar, his name is Jake Sully, and he tells them it's Jake Sully, and they don't read his name. They only hear his name. So why does she call him Jake Sully like she read it?
But get the hell out of here, Zach. People with accents and stuff.
Jake Sully.
If you can't do the pronunciation, see, here's the thing.
If your insanity
and
can
you should know
be cured.
This, as the grandson... And the son of an Argentinian. People, Americans in Argentine, whatever you want to call it. You and I have the rolling R. And in the American English language, for non-native Spanish speakers, that is not something that they can do as natural as us who's been exposed to it as from an early age. And so when you have to then speak another language, or at least, I don't know how elaborate the Na'vi language is in terms of how it's been written and pronounced and these actors are putting on performances and all. But it would be safe to say that that pronunciation could come about because of they can't say
no,
the
no.
Sully.
It's a Saul. Weird thing in that movie. It's a weird thing in the movie. Why did
Zach,
he
make... they stick their ponytails in each
yeah,
other?
Yeah, why
and,
did they
and,
make
and that's the weird thing?
Zahelu, the bond, where that's how Na'vi have sex.
Are you familiar?
Also, do it
are
to
you
this
familiar
horse.
With the, Wait, my favorite cartoon, hands down. It's not by Oni. It's Harry Partridge is like his Avatar cartoon. You need to watch. Everybody listening to the podcast, this is a very NSFW cartoon.
Here's your homework.
Yeah, to watch that video. It's from like years ago, over 10 years ago, 12 years ago. And when I was a kid, I thought this was hilarious. And I hope you have a sense of humor and enjoy it. And
so that'll be
a stick in the mud.
That'll be exciting. December 16th, Avatar 2, Return of the Jungle Men.
As opposed to the less exciting film. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Terrible name, terrible title. I don't care. It's the stupidest title I've ever heard.
I'm sorry to James Wan and Jason Momoa, but this woman has kind of ruined
Amber Heard sucks. Listen, I'm only excited for one thing about this film, and that's Yahya Abdul-Mateen back as Black Manta.
Yes!
That's the only thing I'm excited for. Jason Momoa is cool. He's cool.
James Wan's an interesting director.
They showed him in that black costume. It looks weird. It's like molded.
I like James Jason Momoa in the off season. I like the dad bod. I like when he's less worked out. Have you seen the photos?
You mean like his Duncan Idaho look?
Everybody criticized him for like being off season, and I'm like, dude, he's living his life.
Yeah, I'm sorry that Jason Momoa can't be literal perfection 24/7.
And I'm like, he's all right. And then that Super Bowl ad that he did after that.
Oh, I love that.
Like,
I love
that. That was hilarious.
Got the like spaghetti arms and stuff.
Yes.
Whatever. We'll see where this movie goes.
That weekend I'll dedicate to Avatar 2 in the off chance that it comes out. We should place a bet now, Zach, if they push the date or if they keep it.
What do you want to go with? I'd say
I don't want to make that bet. I'm just saying.
One day we'll know. That takes us to our final movie, anticipated film of the year.
Literal garbage.
December 21st, Super Mario Brothers, also known as the Untitled Mario film. So, directed by Aaron Horvath and Michael Jelinek, starring not Charles Martinet as Mario, thank God.
I met him. I don't like him.
I've met Charles Martinet. He is an acquired taste. did you see an interview recently where he was like, I dream as Mario? And I'm like,
I saw that headline and I'm like, oh God.
Anyway, Chris Pratt as Mario, Charlie Day as Luigi, which I think is pretty funny. Jack Black as Bowser. Who's playing Peach? Anya Taylor-Joy? Who cares? This movie's gonna be weird.
Oh, you know what's interesting here? The Untitled Mario film also has a possible subtitle, Mario and the Jungle Man.
Mario meets the Jungle Man.
That is a movie I'd be more excited to watch. All right. Say, let's put our cards on the table. Which film do you think will have a better opening weekend, Avatar 2 or Super Mario Bros?
Avatar 2 opening weekend? Are we just talking domestic?
Even international.
Avatar 2.
Let's open international.
Avatar 2.
You don't think Super Mario Bros. Is going to have
no.
a good international
No, I
opening?
Think people love... Dude, international markets, they love aliens. They love giant machines.
Dude, Super Mario is literally an international title. The Japanese made
I'm
him.
Just saying. I'm just saying.
He's a Japanese, Italian, American, New Yorker plumber.
I'm putting my money... on Avatar 2, Return of the Jungle Men.
That's a safe bet, Zach. I would 100% agree. I would be on the same side of that bet.
Well, okay.
We're betting against nothing.
I guess we win or we lose.
I'll tell you what. This cast is star-studded in the sense that like I love that these actors are playing these characters, no way in hell should these actors ever play these characters in any context. I do not. I have no idea what to expect from this. And this is all coming because Universal and this partnership with Nintendo and the opening of the Nintendo areas and their theme parks around the world.
I hope we get the Super Mario World over here in the States, because I've seen all the pictures stuff. I hope we do.
Aren't they building it? I don't know when it'll be ready, but I assume it will be.
I have no idea. I just know I've seen the pictures of the one in Japan, and it looks so cool. So, remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But, aside from that, and we don't know what other movies may be announced throughout the year, and we probably missed a whole bunch. If you have an most anticipated film of the year that we did not mention, comment, let us know, send us a message, drop us a slide in the DMs, tell us what you are most excited for in the year 2022, because we want to know. We might end up talking about it. Who knows?
And it's also important to keep each other updated between us and you, the audience, as to what interesting things there are out there to watch. I, for one, sooner rather than later, am looking forward to this HBO series Winning Time. I can't wait. I'm looking for a really great series to follow. As right now, films are coming out. The Batman, I am like going in there, no expectation, nothing. So I'm ready to get dead parents all over again.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, that's all I got to say. I mean, and also, Zach, there's things that came out last year privately in smaller settings that are now coming out to a more open audience. You know, The Tragedy of Macbeth.
I am likely seeing that this weekend, one way or another.
I did want to mention to you that they're also adding it to Apple TV Plus on streaming.
I'm not paying for another streaming service.
It's free with your iPhone, dude. I told you. And you can have the app on your TV.
But I would rather see it in a dark theater on a big screen.
But Unicron is out there, and he's going to transform you.
But I have this M95 mask.
I suppose you're safe. Unless you're Ian, you're safe.
You know who you are, Ian.
You know.
some random guy named Ian's going to be listening to this and be like, what?
Hey!
Anyway, that, I think, is all the time we have for today. Chris, it's been a delight, as always.
Zach, and all the lovely listeners know where they can find their number one source for Jungle Men content here at Scripter Screen. Be sure to visit our website, www.scripterscreen.com or anchor.fm/scripterscreen. There, you can find all of our past, present, and future episodes. Peruse them. We'll get them to YouTube. Don't worry. Be sure to follow us at Scripter Screen on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and have a conversation with us. Stick around. Share our posts. If you like something, if you don't like something, tell us you don't like it. Tell us why you don't like it. We want to hear
see something,
you.
Say something.
Yeah. If you see a good TV show, yeah.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Or bad television from being made. You know, or watched. That's important.
Yes.
Have a wonderful rest of your morning, afternoon, day, evening.
Bye.